The fact that hopefully that clears up for some in the future on how to make a binding arbitration in the employment context, but it certainly took a long time to get there in this case.
And I'll just interrupt. Marla and I have been working on a case that is chasing the Whataburger clock in terms of how long it has been since the initial dispute happened and how long it's taken to get the case through one arbitration, then another, and then transfers and everything like that. So the aspirational goal of quick, efficient resolution sometimes is aspirational.
Right. Especially when you don't have the opportunity, and this is helpful for practitioners who actually draft the arbitration agreement itself. A lot of this are tips for clients on how to avoid all of this long dispute in the appellate and trial court over the issue. The second issue also involves an employment dispute in the Texas Supreme Court, Aerotech v. Boyd. This is a 2021 case. The question here was, of course, whether these former employees could sue the employer in the trial court based on during the onboarding process, they electronically signed a whole bunch of different documents and policies, including an arbitration agreement. When the everything was electronic, and when the employer moved to compel arbitration, the employees signed an affidavit in response and said, we don't remember, we did this onboarding process, but we don't remember signing these agreements, and we don't think there's an agreement to arbitrate. The employer came back at the hearing on the motion to compel and presented testimony from an employee who proved up the security measures that were taken under the electronic signature process. And this is pretty important because under the Texas Uniform Electronic Transactions Act, which I'm not sure if everyone knows about, you can show, as long as you show that the security procedures used in generating a contract show that an electronic signature can be attributed to whoever electronically signed it, then that's considered a binding agreement. And the employer put on sufficient testimony to show all the security measures and the step-by-step process to show that these employees had, in fact, electronically signed the arbitration agreement. And simply just a conclusory allegation of, I don't remember that, or I didn't sign that, isn't sufficient. So in that case, the Texas Supreme Court sent it back and compelled arbitration. The third case, surprise, surprise, is another case involving employment matters. Discrimination and retaliation claims were brought by an employee. This is In re Copart. Sorry, this is another 2021 case from the Texas Supreme Court. In this case, the employer moved to compel arbitration, proving up the policies and procedures that were signed by the employee at the time of starting her employment, including an arbitration agreement. The HR employee proved it up, wasn't the person who personally saw the employee sign it, but she was more of a custodian of records and talking about the policies, and here are the documents that are maintained in our files. The employee used that as a basis to move to compel discovery from the HR employees, saying that, well, we got to figure out, the argument was we got to figure out if there really is an agreement to arbitrate here or not. And the Texas Supreme Court said, nope, nope, you don't get discovery this easily when a trial court can make a determination from the papers and evidence submitted that there is a valid agreement to arbitrate. In order to get pre-arbitration discovery, you have to make a colorable showing that the discovery that you want would aid the trial court in resolving arbitrability issues raised by the party that's requesting the discovery. So simply denying or conclusory allegations that you don't think this person knows what they're talking about and trying to prove up this arbitration agreement is not sufficient to be able to hold up the decision and go into discovery in the trial court. The fourth case is another 2021 case, Wagner v. Apache. This is a case has a long history, but what's important about it, this is actually a case between sophisticated business parties over the assignment of oil and gas interests, and this assignment included an indemnification clause in it, and later was invoked by the assignor, who was sued by third parties for environmental claims at the time that they held the properties. And the important issue that really comes out of this case is when you have an arbitration agreement with a carve-out clause having an exception of what type of issues will actually be arbitrated by the parties. The Texas Supreme Court held that the arbitration agreement, the scope of that is going to be read broadly, as usual, under the typical rules that apply. However, if there's a carve-out provision, that's going to be read narrowly to apply only to the very specific issues that are accepted within that clause. And so with the policy in favor of arbitration, if your clients want to have particular disputes that are accepted from the arbitration, you better be very, very specific about what those would be in the circumstances under which that would arise.